This time of year, we have today Joachim and Anne. In a few days, we have St. Martha. We have many celebrations of our ancestors in the faith, like today, Joachim and Anne. We also are being fed by Jeremiah. Remarkable. Jeremiah had a very difficult call from the Lord. And he kind of knew it from the beginning. When he was called, he said, No, look, I'm just a child. I'm just a little boy. I can't take. And God said to him, don't say you're a little boy. Go and do what I will be with you. I will make you a brass wall. I will do whatever, but you just go and do what I tell you. Now, this is one of the things he had to do. He had to go down to the National Shrine in Washington, stand at the front door, and say, you can come and go into this place all you want, says the Lord, but if you don't change your heart, it'll do you no good whatsoever. How would you like that job? We all know that's true, but to have to go out and say that like that and confront people, where does that come from? It comes from love. Love. You can always tell, I've said this before, you can always tell a prophet from a nut, because a prophet loves his people. He's not just angry. You people all should shape up, you know. No, this is love. And so you could ponder that today. Don't come stand in the temple and say, we're safe. God says, I see what's going on in your mind. Here we are. We've made Sunday Mass. We've done whatever. So we're safe. Not unless you do what I tell you. Yes, good to come to Mass there. You'll hear what you're supposed to do. That's great. But you see, if you're going to steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, and worship false gods, and then come and stand in this house and say, I'm safe. It's very powerful. It's a call. It's a great call to conversion. And in the Gospel, we have another parable of our Lord. If you wanted to do something, you know, all these little exercises help us get the word into us, you know. Go through the Gospels and pick out all the parables that have to do with seed and sowing. It's amazing. And why? What is so apt about seed and sowing? So we have this one today. The kingdom of God, that is God's rule. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of Monaco. It's the rule of God. God's rule in this world is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But then an enemy came and sowed weeds. Now there are many ways of looking at this. Here, he's talking about the enemy bringing people in who corrupt the field. And that's why at the end he says, no, let them all grow. Different than weeds and wheat. Some of the weeds could become wheat by a conversion. So let it all go. But on the day of judgment, I will send my angels out. And they'll collect all the weeds and burn them. And get the wheat into my barn. But there's another sense of this too. This is a device of Satan all the time, to mix darkness with light. And there are some colossal examples of this. One which has affected the world history to this moment is the advances in science that began Herbert Butterfield, who's a philosopher and historian of science, says, really, the growth in science has had a greater effect on Western history, and therefore all history, than the Reformation. He means lots of things by it, but let me just show you something that is part of our culture, therefore part of our mindset, that we must be alert to and pray against. The physical universe is filled with marvels. And not knowing their source or how to control them, you know, human beings were awed and thought, you know, there must be a god doing all this, or gods. But in that period, especially with Isaac Newton, it became clear that you could reduce all these phenomena to certain laws. And we have control. Well, it's true that science has autonomous laws. I mean, science and the universe is autonomous in that sense. It has, you know, interacting, but it's not independent. Autonomy is not independent. You see, the wheat of all this progress that God gave us, all the sciences, all the medicine, this is wheat. The weeds. Now we understand the universe, and the explanation is physics. And we don't need to think about God. In fact, for those who wish to think about God, you're free to do that if you want. But you have to remember that life is intelligible, satisfactory, meaningful, without any recourse to God. Thinking about God is something for those who are into that, you know, whatever they're into. I mean, but keep it out of the realm of our life, because it's not necessary, and who knows if there's a God or not. I can live a perfectly meaningful life without any God. That's the triumph of modern science. And it is such a lie. This is the basic reason why we are in the mess we're in. So that freedom of religion means, for those who want to do that, let them do it. One's religion is as good as another. If they're into that, let them do it. But keep it out of reality. Keep it out of politics. Keep it out of science. Keep it out of... So what happens? We are made for God. God made us. We can't change that. So after having rejected God and recourse to God, our loving Father, we look around for other sources of power. I have a book upstairs. It's a frightening book, but a good one. Tracing what he calls modern spirituality, which is what? The cultivation of powers. It could be Reiki, it could be New Age, it could be, you know, Jung, it could be... We cannot live without recourse to it, because our minds are made that way. St. Thomas says, you know, that in every act of knowing, we implicitly know God. It's implicit. But then in another way, we vaguely know God. As he says, it's like seeing somebody walking down the street. You don't know who he is exactly, but when he gets closer, you say, oh, that's Peter. Our minds are made that way. You see? And God's revelation, starting with Abraham, God's revelation is wheat to feed on, to be ground up, become bread. And darkness has sown this weeds. And the triumph weed is that, you see, so freedom of religion is allowing those who are into that. It means nothing, you know. But for those who are into it, let them alone. That's freedom of religion. Whereas we are made by God, we are made for God, and if you don't worship God, you're going to worship something else. And that's where we are. Now, I know this is a little early in the morning to go through all of this philosophy, but I once had a vision of this. So I was working on a very serious topic. And I saw a field. It was totally black. Black night, black everything. And then I saw Satan sowing these seeds, these weeds. And I understood just what I've tried to explain here. Our effort, my friends, is to use our minds and to pray and to worship God, not as a little addendum we happen to do because we're into that thing, but because the survival of this world depends upon it. And we offer that. We preach the gospel. If the Son of God came to die for us, it must be rather important. And changing us, and changing our minds, and changing the way we think, changing our emotions, and all the rest, that may not, that's not just cosmetics, you know, a little bit fix up here, a little bit there. Either we know Jesus Christ, or we are living in darkness and risking eternal damnation. It's that serious. It's not a little extra for people who are into that type of thing. And we've allowed ourselves to be backed into that corner. Typical example, you know, anti-abortion, that's the Catholic thing. That's the Catholic teaching. My friends, it is not Catholic teaching. It is Catholic witness to the very structure of human nature. It's not teaching, it's witness. You can't be into that type of thing if, you know, if you're into babies and so forth, and then if you're not, you can kill them all or make little embryos and store them by the millions in vaults in case you need them one day to experiment on or whatever. No. God sees that, like he saw what was going on in Israel. Wheat and weeds. It's very powerful. These great understandings of philosophy, of science, of history. But stay alert. Without a pure heart and a deep life of prayer, you'll get tricked.